This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, and with me, as always, our Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
Well, it's probably going to storm today, they say.
Yeah.
It doesn't look that good outside right now, to be honest with you. A little gray.
Yep.
But we're not going to let that dampen our spirits here on the show, because, as we know, rain is our friend, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Yep. Can't grow stuff without water. So yep, we welcome it. But we have our phone lines open, as always. If you have a question, if you're listening in and you have a question for us, give us a call, 814-368-9372. Our email address is garden@wesb.com. And we do have an email I'd like to start with, Bob.
Ah, all right.
All right. And I do see that we you have some show and tell today.
So yep,
remember, we are on Facebook Live. And says, this one's from Betsy. She says, hi, Bob. I have a volunteer spruce tree that's about 3 feet tall now. It is growing about 3 feet from my house. Should I move it or can I trim it into a topiary shape?
I would move it. Can that close to the house, any tree that close to the house, roots can eventually affect our foundation or our drainage. But you can trim it. I still would move it. I'd wait, though, till fall to do it after the ground has really been dampened.
I see, yeah. Make it easier.
Yeah. You can trim it. Spruce trees take to trimming very well. Trim it into a topiary shape, as long as you don't get too severe with it. They don't really like to be pruned or trimmed, but they can be, except for some spruce like the Alberta spruce, the little dwarf spruce, that takes to any kind of trimming, really. But a volunteer, I would be real careful with it. I probably would rather move it do some trimming on it.
Right, yeah. 3 feet is a little too close.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, too close for comfort, huh?
Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much, Betsy, for writing in. garden@wesb.com. Or you can comment on Facebook Live if you'd like to ask Bob a question that way. And, of course, the phone lines are open as well. So what is on your mind today, Bob?
Well, the first thing that really struck me is because I was doing a little weeding yesterday. And after a rain, weeds pull a lot easier, you know. So sometimes that task, wait till a good rain, and then your weeding job will be a lot easier to do. If you have some perennials that need to be moved, then after a good rain is a good time to do that too.
Okay. We actually have a phone call.
Okay.
Here. Would you like to have a question for Bob? Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just swell. Hey, I have a forsythia bush, and I trimmed it back this spring, but it's grown over the summer. Can I cut it this fall, or do I have to wait till next spring?
You could trim it any time you want, but be aware that if you trim it now, you're trimming off the spring flowers.
Mm.
Oh, that was a groan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you
no.
Didn't like that answer at all, did you?
No, because it bloomed beautiful this spring, and I thought, oh, finally it's blooming, but
yeah.
I'll just let it go till next year. But thank you very much.
Okay, yep.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, any shrub that blooms in the spring has to be pruned immediately after it's done flowering, because then it starts to develop next year's buds right away.
Okay.
You got to really be careful about when you prune. You're not going to hurt the shrub, just that you won't have any flowers that next year. And forsythias tend to do that. A lot of shrubs do that. They put on a lot of growth after flowering. So be aware that if you want to keep it 5 foot tall, you know, you're going to have to trim it down below that 5 foot mark, because they will grow a great deal after they're done flowering.
Oh, very good. All right. But you were saying earlier here, we were going on your notes here that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, so weeding after rain, that's a great time. Transplanting, and the reason I say transplanting after rain is because the soil is wet and it sticks together better, so that when you try to transplant a perennial, that the soil ball will stick together a lot easier. If it was dry, you're liable to lose a lot of the soil, and it'll stress the plant. You know, may not kill it, but it may stress it. So be aware that after a rain, you know, take advantage of the rains. After a rain is a great time to transplant any one of those plants that you need to move.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. And again, if you have a question for Bob, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Even though if it's not what we're talking about, if there's something on your mind that you have a question about, give us a call, 814-368-9372, and man, go ahead.
In the vegetable garden, I know some people, especially new gardeners, you know, are wondering, when do I harvest certain things? You know, and I'll talk about the pepper first. The pepper, you know, if you got a green bell, whenever it gets large enough for you, it's time to harvest. But if you don't want to harvest it right away, most green bell peppers will turn red or yellow when they're ripe. Peppers are one of the plants in the garden that we always harvest before they're ripe. And that's good, you know. But if you do leave one on the plant for a longer period of time, it will turn colors and gets a little sweeter, too, that way. So. Keep that in mind when you're harvesting, you know, the tomatoes. You know, I know we've had a lot of calls about the tomatoes not turning red yet. They will, but check them out from time to time. Because of the weather conditions we had this year, it stressed a lot of the pepper plants out. Tomato plants. Some of us really don't have a whole lot of tomatoes on the vine, we call it, or the plant. But check them out. If you have that black spot on the bottom of that tomato, you probably want to prune that one off, because it's going to be robbing energy from the rest of them. Not robbing it, but taking its share of the energy from the rest of them. So if you get rid of that one, that black spot's going to continue to grow, and eventually that tomato will be no good. So you might as well cut it off. You can slice up the good parts if you want and have some fried green tomatoes. But don't try to ripen it, because, like I said, that black spot, it's a mold.
No.
So it's going to just continue to grow. So get rid of it and let the other ones have that energy so they can get a little bit bigger and ripen a little bit quicker. And if you got a lot of foliage, a lot of leaves on the plant, maybe it's a good idea to trim some of them off, so you can let sunlight and air in throughout that plant, and that will help ripen the tomatoes that are on there quicker.
Oh, okay.
And also, if you've got new blossoms coming, it's probably a little too late for them to develop into a decent fruit. So every now and then, trim off those new blossoms or new growth on the tomato plant. We call it topping the tomato plant. So again, that energy can go to the tomatoes that are on the plant, and so they'll develop bigger and they'll ripen a little quicker that way. So that's a little bit on peppers and tomatoes.
Now, let me ask you this about tomatoes. The bigger they are, does it affect the flavor at all if you let them grow, like if they're getting too big and you have to like prop up the plant, you know, so it doesn't bend all over?
Boy, we all wish we could get a tomato
right
that big.
But yeah. I'm just saying.
Or like, the whole plant, you mean.
Yeah.
They should all be propped up anyhow. No, it won't affect the flavor. The flavor is going to be the same, whether it's a small cherry-like tomato or a great big beefsteak that may be a pound or 2 pounds. So don't worry about that.
So once it's ripe, you pick it.
Yeah. And then pick it. And
don't try to give it another 2 weeks to make it extra sweet or something like that.
No.
That maybe a wives' tale told you that.
Once it's ripe,
it's
done everything it's going to do. So that's the time to pick it. And what I mean is ripe, you know, where it's red or yellow, depending on the variety you have, all the way around the plant, even up on what we call the shoulder. That's where the stem enters the plant. Even up there, then it is totally ripe, so pick it. And use it.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Make a tomato sandwich.
Yeah.
There you go. My dad likes, he was asking if I had salt when he came up last time. He just likes to put salt on a tomato.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I like the tomato just the way it is. So that's a few hints there. Also, you know, in the garden, you know, broccoli and cauliflower, all those plants are done. You might as well just pull them out. If there's any bugs or disease, they can't continue to multiply. So it's a good idea to clean them out. Keep in mind any of those root crops, that's carrots and beets and potatoes. You know, don't let them sit in the ground too long. Because they will continue to grow and they may get what we call a little pithy or harder or woody. So if you pick them now, then chances are you're going to get a much better vegetable that way.
So basically beginning of August always is the time to do that.
Yeah. Now I have to caution about the potato. You don't really dig them until the potato plant has died back. If it's still nice and green and got flowers on it, then let it continue to grow because there are some late maturing potatoes. So wait till the plant dies back. Then you can dig the potatoes. And a good thing to do with all those root crops, you know, is clean them off, dry them out, and you can store them in a nice, cool, dark spot. They should be good for a long period of time. Quite often, I'll have enough potatoes left over that I can put in the basement in a nice crate under darkness, not where they're going to get light, because if they get light, they'll try to resprout. But under darkness, and I can keep them all winter long, even that way.
Wow.
Some of the squash you can too. And the beets, but carrots, you know, put them right in your refrigerator.
Now, I always wondered about, and I've just always, I guess, never eaten them because they were soft anyway. But if I forget about potatoes in the pantry, you know.
Oh, yeah, there, yeah.
And they'll sprout sometimes.
Yeah, and then that.
What happens then? Like, is it no good to eat, or do you just cut off the sprouts and eat it anyway?
Well, if the sprouts are just, you know, a quarter inch long or something like that, it's okay. But if they've started to really grow a stem, they can become a tad bit poisonous.
Oh.
Yeah. Not going to kill you, but they can. And the flavor starts to go, too, because the plant is changing its chemical makeup then.
Okay. That's what I figured.
So, if you got them sprouted, just throw them away.
Yeah. All right.
Or save them to and keep them in a nice, cool, dark spot. Save them and replant them next year.
Very cool. Okay. 814-368-9372. If you have a question for the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, give us a phone call and Facebook Live. We're on there. You can comment your question away there and also email garden@wesb.com. And what else is on your mind today?
I'd like to talk about the plant right by me here.
I'll tell you what, we'll get to that right after our sponsor.
Okay.
At Worth W. Smith Hardware. We'll be back in 30 seconds with some show and tell on Facebook. Take a look at this pink flower plant that Bob brought in after this.
Visit Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford and see all they have to offer for your outdoor cooking. You'll find a wide variety of mountain pie makers, bread makers, hot dog forks, and other fire pit cooking products. If that's not your style, don't worry, they didn't forget you. They have whatever cooking fuel you need, whether it's charcoal, propane, or one of several flavors of Bear Mountain wood pellets they have in stock. So next time you're looking for something for backyard cooking, remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford.
And just like that, we're back with the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. All right, Bob, take it away.
Okay, the plant right beside me here is a rose. That's the queen of the garden and has been since for 2,000 years. The rose can go back to, so far they know, from fossil records, 35 million years.
Holy moly.
But most roses originated in Asia, so it has a long travel period there. It's been, I'll move it up.
Yeah.
So you can really see.
Our friends on Facebook could see nice and close there. Oh, yeah, that's a...
It's a dandy, yeah.
That's a good one you brought in.
Let me see. Let me turn it here.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's see. Now, you've probably seen around town, it's very popular, the knockout roses. This one's not a knockout rose.
What's the difference?
The difference is the height of it growing and the size of the flower. This one is called Oh So Easy. It was developed by the Proven Winners Company. This is equivalent to the knockout roses. The knockout roses are really highly, highly recommended. This is just its small sister, and there's even smaller ones. There are miniature roses, and all these roses are grown on their own roots. Used to be 60, 70 years ago, all the roses, well, even more recent than that, all roses were a grafted rose that we planted, and a lot of us had rose gardens, and it's becoming popular again because these are grown under what we call their own roots. They're not grafted, and it makes them a little bit hardier. And, of course, the root system gets a little bit bigger, so they can become more floriferous, meaning they can produce more flowers. So it's a highly recommended plant. Again, probably a lot of people have seen them all around town. It's even getting so they use them in parking lots and malls and so on, because they are so extremely hardy and bloom just about the whole year, our whole growing season.
Right.
So very nice plant, the queen of the garden. They even have records of King Midas of Crete. This was 2,000 years ago. Had frescoes of roses. Made for him. And another neat fact about roses, one of my favorite, I got to visit one time, the rose tree in Tucson, Arizona, right in Tombstone, Arizona. It's the world's largest rose. I got to walk right up to it and stand underneath it. Yeah, you can stand underneath it.
Underneath, it's so big.
As a matter of fact, about 100 people can stand underneath this rose. It's so large. It's hard to describe how large it is. Still
wow.
Growing, yeah. And there's a whole neat story behind it, why it was planted. An immigrant there moved into Tombstone, and his wife was really homesick for the old world. And all he could do was ordered a plant that she remembered from her homestead. And he planted it there, and it continued to grow and is still growing today, you know, well over 100 years. And it made it into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow.
Of the largest rose on earth.
Now, it's a rose bush or just a single rose?
Oh, rose bush. Yeah.
Okay.
Bush. Yeah. Yep. That they've take care of very well, and they've trained it. Now, it's hard to see if you just drive through. Arizona.
Tombstone.
Tombstone, yeah.
Yeah.
been a long time since I've been there. Because it's hidden behind the buildings. So you do have to stop and check it out. But, you know, there's a lot to check out there. You know, you can go check out the OK Corral and all that other stuff.
Now, it's gotten that big because ideal temperatures, I would imagine, or the weather is suited. For that, or
that's
I mean, I guess they take care of it too.
They take care of it. Yeah,
they don't really have a winter.
Interesting, you know, because the rose originated from northern China and Siberia, where it's a lot colder.
Wow!
but they have mutated or adjusted to different weather conditions, and they grow all over anywhere from the equator up. They grow now, even in hot, dry desert areas, and perform very well. So there's a rose just about for any area because of how nature has made them adjust. So roses also can be grown or develop into 1 foot tall ones, the miniature roses. I really like them a lot. They're neat. To roses that can grow 100 feet tall.
Wow.
Some of the vining roses. And the Rosa galactica, that probably was the first rose that man started to develop. And again, that came from northern China and Siberia. Another one of my favorites is the Rosa rugosa. There's an area in Rhode Island called the Rose Walk. It's one of the judged as one of the greatest walks or trails in America. And it's a whole path that you'll go through thousands and thousands of roses growing wild, rugosa roses, right on the shore of the ocean. This rose has developed a way to tolerate all the salt spray. Never bothers it. And believe me, it is a spectacular trail. Unbelievable. That you walk right through the middle of thousands and thousands of field of roses.
Wow. Now, do they look the same?
Yeah, they all look the same.
They just have a different tolerance for the salt.
Oh, yeah. Just have a different tolerance. Yeah, you're right. Now, the rugosa rose, you know, some people don't like it because it's a little more thorny, but it still looks like a rose. But it's extremely hardy, can withstand Bradford weather very easily. Some roses develop fewer thorns. Some roses develop more of a tolerance against diseases and harsh winters. So there's a rose for just about every yard or pot. You can grow a lot of the roses in pots too, and be very successful that way.
Now let me ask you this: I see some kind of mangled looking ones like right here. Should you be concerned about that and you know, cut those off, or is that just how it is and let it be?
That's how it is. Now if you want to keep it blooming real well, there was a bunch of blooms in that little area. You probably can't see it.
Yeah, I see a couple like little buds coming out, like,
but it still has a few yet to come, and when all of those blossoms are done and faded, then we would trace the stem back to where a stem of five leaves come out, and that's where we'll trim it, just above those five leaf stems. And then, of course, within a few weeks, it'll start to regrow and rebud and continue flowering. Now, if you don't do anything at all, it's still going to flower. You'll just have a fewer flowers, that's all. But if you do tend to prune them or deadhead them, a rose, they will continue to flower a great deal.
Okay, great.
I remember a lot of people say, well, they're thorny and I don't like dealing with them. And that takes me back to a real old Chinese saying, that the rose only has thorns to those who pluck it. So I always enjoy telling that one. And that's true. You know, if you just sit back and enjoy them, it's probably the most beautiful plant on earth. So that's my story about roses.
I like it. All right. I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't realize that was a rose. I wasn't paying attention to what you said. And I'm like, hey, we'll be back to talk about this flowery plant, pink looking thing.
Yeah. The only sad thing about roses is they develop them to grow at different heights and flower more and in different areas to the point where they've lost their scent. Mm. Now, all the old roses were highly, highly scented. And of course, they were really cherished for that and used as medicinal or just a scented plant to have around or to make potpourri for people to carry around. So they smelled nice. But most of them have lost that ability to carry that scent anymore.
Is there a reason? And because is it, did they develop a more vibrant color?
It's just, yeah.
Instead,
vibrant colors, more flowers, a different height, faster growing.
I see.
All those were trade-offs. All plants have just so many things that they can do,
yeah.
All living things.
Right, right.
And so when you take and increase one, the other one's going to decrease. I'm going to talk about that in the show, all the resources of a plant and how they're affected.
Okay, great. We have about 3 minutes left in this show. Still time to get your phone calls in, by the way. So if you have a question for Bob, it's 814-368-9372. Or you can email us, garden@wesb.com, or comment on our Facebook live stream, facebook.com/WESB1075. And this is what Kathy did. She says, can you cut back raspberry bushes or just leave them?
You can do either or. Some raspberries really benefit from a cutback in the fall. And some just benefit from just leaving them, because a lot of times that raspberry stem, bush stem, will reach a height and finally bend over and touch the ground and become a new raspberry plant. But one hint, if you want to grow raspberries, because this has come to me here recently, don't grow black and red raspberries together. They are not good partners. One can carry a disease and show no effects that the other one, it can be deadly to.
Oh, wow.
So keep your red and black raspberries separated as much distance as you possibly can.
All right. Good information. Thanks for writing in, Kathy. And David Bennett says, Bob, I really enjoy your program. I'm just too shy to talk on the air. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Certainly can understand that.
Yep. I can too.
Oh, yeah. Will you be back next week?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Then I'll join you as well.
Okay.
And we'll have a whole new topic. Are we going to talk about the what you were just alluding to earlier?
Yep, I will. And I'll have another shrub.
Well, thank you so much for listening to The Gardening Show. And we'll be back next week. And thanks to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith Hardware. This is B107.5 FM and The Gardening Show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.